This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This comment comes from A Miguel 01. This username sounds like you were the very first Miguel to ever sign up for the internet. I'm just a Miguel. I guess you'd be the second Miguel because you had to put a number behind the first one. The first Miguel would be a Miguel. Anyway, he writes, dope. I almost like that all of me reviewing your review was your username. So I'm going to leave it at that.
2, 3, 4. If you're looking for advice from a real girl who might not have the answers, but goddamn she'll try, just a tip and you'll be on your way. With Meg and Batoon on Friday.
Welcome to Just a Tip, an advice podcast hosted by me, Megan Batoon. I cried during the contestant introductions on Chopped every single time, so that's why I have a friend here to help me help you. Hopefully you have a better stability of your emotions than me, Dustin Nickerson.
Hi. Yeah, I cry once a year. I'm an annual crier.
On what day?
I don't know when it's going to happen. It can be... The last big cry was at the end of the Wolverine movie, Logan. And then I walked the streets of Wichita alone. And that was a good enough one that was about a year and a half ago. That might have been for 2 years. So
you're
we
due.
Seem like a good balance.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't really have
You don't cry.
I don't really have feelings. So.
Oh, I get that. I understand not having feelings, but just crying a bunch.
Yeah, just like laughter and rage. Those are the two that I usually operate in. So tears sound lovely.
I love crying sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes, like, I want to do it.
Yeah.
You ever have a day where you're just like, I want to cry, so then you put on, like, something ridiculous to, yeah. Like, the Chopped intro?
So that's funny, the Chopped intro. You know. The
you
things
know.
That really get your heart going. No, I there are things that I actively avoid so I don't cry.
Like?
Certain songs, certain movies, certain... I don't watch, like, serious or sad movies. I'm like, that's going to be a whole thing. I don't want to have to deal with that.
It's going to be a lot.
So, wow. Or like, yeah, I can't... Like, I haven't been able to listen to Johnny Cash in, like, 3 years. Because, like, this is just too much. I can't. We're starting to ease back in.
Yeah. Whoa. Do you have any songs that you cannot listen to or else you'll cry on command?
I have, it's not songs, but I have a movie I can't watch.
What is it?
Big Fish.
Oh, yeah. Daddy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Big dead dad stuff on that one for me.
I don't have a single movie. I cry in every movie.
Well, you cry when you hear Lana Del Rey.
I do?
You had to cry for a scene once and you just asked us to put on Lana Del Rey.
I just like her music.
Say, I feel like the bar is so low. Like any movie with one sad part will be like, well, that's the movie for me. Mine is Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire came out the year that my parents split. And it is a movie about parents that fought a lot, which my parents fought a lot, and then their inevitable split, and it going well for one parent and hard for the other, and one of them getting remarried. And like, and then there's the end where he's dressed as Doubtfire. I'm getting emotional now. This might be my yearly
this
cry.
This is your yearly cry. It's an hour of Dustin crying.
I don't even touch that movie if
that's
I see it.
So
and then when Robin Williams died, too, I was like, that's, we're done.
This
movie doesn't exist to me.
Yeah, that's the same with me. I was talking to my dad about
intro.
The divorce.
I can't.
And I was like, this is kind of like the Mrs. Doubtfire plot. And he was like, yeah, that is kind of my life. And I was like, dang.
A break?
Yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire is like the movie.
Is that your cry movie?
No, I mean, I love it, but I probably wouldn't cry in it. I remember I couldn't watch Nick at Night because they started talking about divorce, and I was like, change the channel.
Movies used to do that. Like, me and my wife, every year on Thanksgiving, we watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen that? It's an old Steve Martin, John Candy movie. And it's a sad movie. It's like a comedy, But it's John Candy's character. Spoiler alert for a movie that came out in 1988. If you haven't seen it now, you're probably safe. Like, it ends up, you know, his wife has died, and he's just this, like, nomad wandering the road. And, you know, he gets invited to the Thanksgiving and stuff, and you're like... And then you compare that to, like, comedies of now, like Anchorman. You're like, yeah, this didn't have any heart to it.
Yeah. Like,
we're gonna be the only one doing that now is still Pixar. Like, hey, we're going to make you laugh, but also make you feel all the emotions.
Is Up your favorite Pixar movie?
Ooh. No, I really loved when Pixar was owned by Disney, like, the Bugs Lives of the world. Mm. That, like, ooh.
What's your favorite Pixar movie?
The first Incredibles.
That is really good.
What's yours?
Inside Out.
Oh, you love
anything
that.
Cerebral. I'm in.
Inside Out.
I'm so inside out. Show me about emotions and compartmentalizing everything. I'm there.
See, they hit you. The movie Incredibles is about a dad who is trying to be happy with his family, even if he's dissatisfied with his career. That's what that movie's about.
Have you seen Incredibles 2?
Yeah.
That's even weirder because the woman becomes the career woman.
Can you believe that a woman is a career woman?
I think
that's a hard pass for me.
The first Incredibles was,
would be incredible if you stayed in the kitchen. I'm sorry. It's so stupid. So stupid.
I think the first Incredibles was the only Pixar movie to ever receive like a PG-13 rating.
Yeah. I think you're right because it was showed violence tension in the family.
Yeah, like family issues, yeah.
And they're like, hey, we're going to get this rating. Let's, while we're at it, just make Mrs. Incredible's hips ridiculous.
While we're at
it. It's the most cartoonish part of a cartoon.
Those hips are out of this world. This is not a podcast about The Incredibles or Mrs. Incredible's hips. It's an advice podcast where you send in us questions. You send in us questions. You can figure it out.
Words are hard. They're so hard.
Where you send in questions to us and we do our best in order to help you out of your sticky situations. Dustin, before we jump in, speaking of the internet, I saw on the internet that all you need to know about a person is to what level they like The Nightmare Before Christmas. And I need you to explain yourself.
That's so funny.
I think Irene gets it.
Here's the thing. I've never seen it.
Oh, there you go.
So what does that tell you about me?
That you're a great person and easy to hang out with.
Really? Yeah.
The thing with Nightmare is there is this spectrum of Nightmare, which is like I would put myself on like a 4. Is I like that movie.
Yes.
I think it's one of the great holiday movies. I think it's funny. I think the songs are... I know about half the songs, you know, and like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is like this like Spencer's
Subculture.
Gift 10. Like it's like you'll see tattoos.
Oh.
They dress at every... It's like... it's a subculture. It's their religion.
It's like... The Big Lebowski, dudism.
Yeah, it's very much like The Big Lebowski. Like, they'll dress like, see, this is my level, Jack and what's her name?
Sally.
Oh, I would have known that Jack from and Sally. Context of a Blink-182 song.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And that punk rock world was in that whole scene a lot together. The tattoos, the dressing, the shirt, all of it, where it's like, to some people it is a movie and it's very entertaining. To others, it is a lifestyle.
Quick question, based off of my Blink-182 lyric knowledge, do they have Halloween on Christmas? Or is that just the lyric?
That's
just the lyric, yeah. The plot of the movie is they live in Halloween Town.
Oh.
And then they find out about Christmas, and then like, hey, this seems like a lot better than Halloween. But
what
I will not.
What a cute thing.
It's adorable.
I gotta watch it.
But it's also like...
scary a little bit.
It's like... Sally's like trying to kill her dad maker all the way through it, all the movie, right?
That's
like,
her dad?
Or not dad, but he created
her creator.
So kind of, you know?
Yeah,
like
kind of a dad figure.
Yeah.
I love him.
Kind of a god.
And yeah, and she, like, the Sally character is, I think, that's almost... more so than anyone, the person that really likes Sally.
Okay.
And is like, I'm trying to kill my dad, and I'm in love with a guy who won't pay a lot of attention to me.
Ooh.
Like, that really resonates home with a lot of people. So, anyways.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, thank you for explaining. Moving on to the advice portion. Here we go. Our first question comes from a 14-year-old. Whoa. How old are your kids?
My kids, I have an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 4-year-old.
Okay, so not quite 14 unless you add them together. So here we go. I'm 14 years old, and my parents are incredibly controlling. They have set a ton of restrictions on my phone, even though I have never done anything to prompt this. They check my messages and restrict the hours I can use it. I've tried to talk to them about it, but they tell me that I'm only a child, and it's their decision as parents. It really bothers me because it feels like they don't trust me. I haven't even had an opportunity to do something stupid because they don't give me a chance to make mistakes. How do I talk to them about this in a way that gets through to them? From Parental Downpour. Wow. I don't have kids, so you're going to have to take this away.
Well, you have been a daughter.
I have been a daughter.
Yeah.
But we didn't have parental restrictions back then. We just didn't have the internet.
Yeah, we didn't have access to the horrors of the world in our pocket.
No. Yeah.
Like, hey, you just want to see the worst thing that happens in the world? Just click.
Right.
That's all.
You can also refresh it, and you'll keep seeing new bad things.
Sure.
New worst things. Oh, this was the worst thing? There's a new thing that just happened. It's streaming live.
As you finish that article, this happened.
It's on the news? How sad.
I'm the wrong person to answer this question in a way that she will be happy.
Well,
because I'm like, you're lucky you have a phone.
But that's good to hear.
We lean way on the... Like, my son's 11, and the majority of his friends have phones.
Yeah.
That's a sixth grader, you know, and I'm like, and he doesn't. And he knows, he goes, when can I get a phone? I go, when you can buy a phone.
Cool.
That's not a thing I will provide for you. I will never provide for you a phone. If you want a phone, then get a job and buy a phone. Like, I don't, that's not,
that's
I provide for you a home and food and presents. It's not, he's not neglected
presents.
Anyway. Like, well, you know.
A present yeah,
when 11. You can buy your own food, you can have some.
It's just not a, you know, but he like, he has like a Nintendo Switch and a, like a TV, like he doesn't have a TV in his room, but like, he's not neglected.
Sure.
He's, you know, but, and he wants this one thing. And for the reasons that probably are fueling this parent, you know, like are the same ones that were like, no, you don't need this. Is I don't see this helping you in any way, in a way that you need.
Yeah.
And that's my job as a parent, which is to help you.
Right.
And also make sure you don't get into situations that hurt you. And everything that's coming out about phones and youth statistically is it is absolutely destroying their lives.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we talk about
and adults too.
Yeah, I mean, extremely adults.
Yeah,
like, well, anyone who uses technology, like, I mean, it's so weird because it's we have everything that we could ever need in our pockets at all times. All the knowledge in the world is there, but we use it for not that, and we just like want to feel bad about ourselves or get validation or like it just
we
compare
have,
ourselves
we
to other
have,
people.
A friend who just sent their 14-year-old child away to a year boarding school / social media addiction recovery camp.
Whoa.
They started with like 2 months and the kid came back and like stole iPads to get more and is like full on.
Whoa.
I just think it's too much for a kid.
It is
you
too
know,
much.
It's a little drug, you know, like,
oh yeah.
Even in this podcast, I'm like, I probably get a few texts.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I was in, I think I got a phone when I was maybe in the sixth or the eighth grade. I think I was in the eighth grade, which how old are you when you're in the eighth grade? Like
13, 14.
Yeah. So yeah, pretty much this girl's age. And I remember barely using it because it was a Nokia. So like the only thing you could do is make a call or play Snake. Like you couldn't even text on it. And so it fell behind my bed one day and like I would go out on Friday night to like the mall with my friends and my mom would be calling me and not be able to reach me. And she's like, where's your phone? I was like, I lost it 4 months ago behind my bed. I just haven't like cared to go get it. So it's like, that's how none of us had phones back then. It was just like, it was a whatever thing. And she was like, well, if I'm going to pay for your phone, I need to know where you are. Like that was her basically tracking device for me.
Yeah.
And so I totally get that. But now like iPhones, if you're, when I go out to breakfast, I see 2-year-olds playing with iPads and it's like, but they're not even playing educational games. They're like taking pictures and they're on Instagram.
Yeah.
They're like,
IG stories.
Yeah.
Got more followers than me. I mean, respect.
Right.
I think that I like this, it was a girl, right? Yeah, her approach, though, and, like, I want to have this conversation with my parents.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we were all there as, you know, teenagers. And those are the awkward years of transition. That's exactly what adolescence is. It's the years of transitioning from a child to adult. So
right.
Her parents saying you're a child is categorically incorrect. She's turning into an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And that struggle of independence and wanting and your parents saying no, like I would say to any person here, the same things I say to my kid, like, this is coming, and I know this is hard to hear, and it sounds like a cliche. This is coming from a place of love.
Yeah.
This is coming truly. From, we want the best for you, even if they're wrong. This is coming usually mm-hmm. from a place of, we don't want to see you get hurt. We don't right. want to see you get down a path, even if it's just, this is going to be too distracting, and you're not going to get your homework done, and we want you to do well in school. You know, but the conversation is the right approach of just saying, asking your parents, well, how can I gain trust? Is there a compromise? Could I start with a flip phone? Could I, you know,
yeah.
can we do it, but you monitor hours? Or like she said, like, you monitor this, but if I'm on quote-unquote good behavior, it sounds like prison. can I get more time? Can I get more time on the weekend? Can there be certain, you know, stuff like that. Of
yeah.
just not dealing in black and whites of, like, all or nothings, but, you know, building up more and more trust over time.
Yeah.
Through good behavior.
Strike a deal for sure. I think yeah. that's a great idea. I have never heard of the buy it when you can, like, have a phone when you can buy it. But that's really cool because those girls 14, usually 15 is when you can get your first job. So
yeah.
even if they adopted that principle or if she brought that to them and be like, I'll buy it.
Yeah. And I just, that's exactly it. And I just like to kind of put in my kid's head, like, no hope in that sense. Like,
with anything.
It's not going to happen. You're not, this will not be a part of your life anytime soon. And,
yeah.
You know, they'll say things, I just want to know what my friends are doing. It's like, you know what you do? Or you see what my friends are up to? The next time you see them, go, hey, what have you been up to? Like, and then you fill in each other what you've been doing the last 48 hours.
So you never feel like, oh, I want to call, what's your son's name?
Joel.
So you're never like, Joel's not where he's supposed to be after school to pick him up. Like, what about,
well,
just
Joel,
like.
Yeah, I get that. But I also am in the, like, listen, like, phones are like 15 years old. Society happens successfully without these for a long time, including us. Just, you'll find a way. Just be where you're supposed to be. Just, to me, it teaches them, like, a phone is, it can teach irresponsibility, which mm-hmm. is like, I tell you to be at this place at this time because this is where my vehicle is going to be to pick you up. And that's how we operated. Like, I knew after baseball practice at 4:30 p.m.,
yeah.
my dad's big blue van was going to be outside at this corner, and that's where I had to be.
Yeah.
You know, and you can, there are just so many easy ways to operate with this. You know, now when he's 16, if he buys his own phone, yeah, maybe I'll be like, oh, this is nice you have this.
Yeah, right? Whoa. Is there any other, like, restrictions that you have with your kids that you think help more than the rest of the population that are kind of, like, in this technology
Yeah,
world?
You know, they don't have really regular internet access. My kids, like, they're nowhere on social media. They don't. My son, he can use our computer, but there's, like, approved websites. There's, mm-hmm. like, three. There's, like, the one that his homework is based through, and we're ESPN and, like, one other one or something.
What about Google?
No, can't go to Google.
How does he, what if he had to look something up?
If he has to look something up, he'll do it, like, with us, like, right by, like, in a room that we're in.
Right.
So, and the bigger one is YouTube, which, like, is, again, all the horrors of the world. Mm. And even not all the horrors of the world, stuff that, like, when you have three kids, like, they're watching what each other are watching.
Yeah.
So, like, the 11-year-old and the 4-year-old are in different lives. So, if they watch YouTube, there's, like, 3 or 4 approved channels they can watch, and it has to be, like, on the TV in the living room.
Sure.
Like, a common space. So they have, like, some attachment to it, but not much.
That's
and they're fine.
Good. That's
they play
good to
sports.
Not be
they're busy. We've said that to my son so many times. Like, when would you do this?
Yeah.
When would you text? Because you wouldn't be able to do it during school because
uh-huh.
There's tight restrictions on that. And then you go to a sport after school, and then you come home and you do your homework, and then you go to bed. Like, there's no window. This doesn't need to be a part of your life.
I think that's smart. When I have kids, I don't think I'm going to introduce the technology to them for quite some time because...
Yeah. Now, our four-year-old does have a phone. She has the new iPhone. We just like, okay.
But she could afford it.
But she could afford it. Yeah, she's a career woman. Yeah. She's already done it.
She's so cute. We just like, you have to get the new portrait mode. You know?
That's so good.
The girl was 14. Only advice you really have for a teenager is like, it'll get better. It's so hard. Those years. Remember that? Do you guys know John Mulaney? He's like my favorite comedian. Mm-hmm. This boy goes, remember when you're 12 and you're like, if anybody looks at me, I'm going to kill myself. Those years are so hard. I feel bad
They're
for
hard,
it.
But that I think the easiest time in life so far has been like 18 to 24 has been
the college
so
years.
So simple for
pretty
me.
Posh.
Like the least amount of stress.
Yeah.
The most like reckless fun.
Yeah. You don't have a lot hangovers. Of money, but you don't need a lot of money.
You don't need money.
Yeah.
You can hang out with anybody you want, but it's before you like know anything.
You can't
and
put
then...
on weight. It's impossible to put on weight.
Right. It's before you have real,
you
real
could get
bills.
Pregnant and not put on weight. It's they're great years.
Yeah. Speaking from experience. Yeah. Yeah. So this, you are in a hard part in your life, but it will get much better and then it will get worse.
I don't know. Is anything worse than the teen years? I just remember catty teenage girls and how you guys like treat each other. And
oh,
it's like those look like those sound like the worst years ever.
I don't know if I.
I don't know if there's a worse species than a teenage girl.
Oh, 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
I used to work for like a bar and bat mitzvah, like company that entertainment would we would entertain people during cocktail hour and then try to get them on our side and like us.
Yeah.
And then when we had the actual event, when they did like the chair dance and stuff, we had to keep the party going.
Right.
So like they would hire us to make sure they had a good party.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they were just like, we're too cool for you. And I'm like, I'm the only one that's being paid to be here.
Yeah.
This is your friend.
But it still hurts them when they say it.
It hurt really
it
bad.
Hurt so
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, I still am trying to recover from it.
I love this 14-year-old girl who wrote a thoughtful email, listens to a podcast. This girl,
yeah.
I like everything about this girl.
Yeah.
She's way ahead of the game.
I didn't even realize how young that was.
Yeah. What I remember are like, and my wife has told the stories too of like, you know, like our era of like calling you. And somebody else being on the line and then them trying to get you to talk crap about that other person. Like,
oh,
just like the nastiest stuff in the world. Like, Megan, what do you think about Irene? Like,
right.
I don't know. I kind of like her. But isn't she? Da, da, da. You're like, just the worst thing.
That is. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so bad.
This is trauma you've pushed down.
Truly.
Those years are the very worst years.
I probably
so
did
God
have a
bless
very
bad you, 14-year-old girl. Your parents are the easiest part of your life.
Yeah, truly. I can't even remember you being 14. What grade is that? Seventh grade.
Eighth grade, right?
You're right.
That's eighth grade.
That's eighth or ninth.
I think it's eighth grade because when you're 16, it's your sophomore. Well, it depends when you're
16. Yeah, 16 is sophomore year. Wow. And you've just gotten your period? This is a lot for you.
Yikes.
Okay. Moving on. One more cue. This one's interesting. Mm. I've been with my boyfriend for 7 years, and I've known for a while that we are going to get married someday. My boyfriend is normally pretty bad at keeping secrets, so I've told him numerous times that when he does propose, I don't want to see it coming. Recently, I saw that a reminder called Ring pop up on his phone. Flash forward a week or two, I saw the Ring reminder pop up again. Last night, he asked me to text my mom back for him on his phone, and the very last message he had sent to her was a picture of an engagement ring. This thing that was supposed to be so special and exciting feels spoiled for the both of us now. I feel robbed and he feels so guilty. We know logically that the proposal isn't about a surprise. It's about our love. But emotions are so much louder than logic. How can we get past these bad feelings and salvage the proposal? From Premature Proposal. I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
I got nothing to do with this girl in my life. I want to be surprised as I snoop through his phone.
No, he asked her to text back.
It's like two or three times now that she's been... I heard three times I was on his phone.
No. It popped up.
You don't have to look at your phone
this
every
is so
time.
Because I'm so much on your side. I'm like, it was just up. And he's like, I'm still looking.
If it's out here like this and we're watching a movie and it goes, ding, you're going to look and it says Ring.
The hardest thing in my experience in life are that set you most up for pain and failure and disappointment is expectations.
Oh, yeah.
And she has put such unrealistic expectations on this that she has decided she can't be happy by it. That's what I think.
I like that.
Like, that is like, I want it to be a surprise, but I want it to be special. I want to put work into it, but I want to know about the work. I want to be really involved with his life, but I want him to have secrets, too. Like, what is it? You're asking for everything here, man. You've been with him 7 years. Just get off his phone and let him try and work this
out.
And doesn't, when your phone on silent and it says ring, like, doesn't it say ring? Like, sometimes the words ring come up. Maybe it wasn't a notification.
But maybe
his phone was ringing. I don't know. I got nothing. I'm looking out for this poor soul who, why does he feel guilty? Because she made him feel guilty, right?
I feel like,
am I way off here?
Well, I mean, you're the only one that's married.
Well, there you go. That doesn't mean anything. I was married as a child. It might as well have been an arranged marriage.
Better arranged than deranged.
Hey, we got jokes. We're working.
We're working. There we go. I feel like obviously the proposal is super big. Like, what did you do for your proposal?
So this is a good story in that this fits in nicely to what I'm saying. We were young, very young. I was 19, she was 20. So,
and she was 4.
Yeah. we didn't have iPhones. She scrapbooked a lot at the time.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
I'm over this already. I'm cold.
Back in the day when you scrapbooked a lot. And I took her scrapbook once and made a scrapbook page of pictures of us and then also like some like little cutouts from wedding magazines, you know, like generic little wedding stuff. And it said, "Will you marry me?" on it. And so, but then I snuck it back into her thing.
And then she just stopped scrapbooking.
And then just hoped she wouldn't scrapbook for a day. And then we went out to Cary Park, which is in Seattle, which has we grew up in Seattle. Well, I grew up in Seattle. She lived there at the time. And we went out and I was like, "Hey, you should bring your scrapbook. We haven't looked at that in a while." Then we look through it. So,
wow. This is it.
But, again, expectations. Mm-hmm. So, nailed that part. Couldn't, 10 out of 10. Didn't have a speech.
Do you need a speech?
Well, some people want you to have when you get on your knee, you say some lovey-dovey things, and then you say, "Will you marry me?" And then I just said, "Will you marry me?" And my wife then, she said yes.
We've divorced.
Then, this was my first wife. We laugh about it now, but even shortly thereafter was like, "Hey, I wish you would have said some things there."
Oh, really?
And that's why this one rings dear to me is like, I think you should, like, engagement is very special.
Yeah.
But when you're imagining and projecting of what this can and should be, you're setting yourself up to be disappointed.
For sure, yeah.
Because this guy can do the most amazing thing, and you're like, but it wasn't this thing.
Right, it's not one thing that I made in my mind.
Yeah.
You didn't read my mind, and you fail.
She's right to want it to be special, though.
Of course.
It is, you hope it's a one-time thing.
So what we've learned is make a speech. Because I didn't think about that, but I guess you're right. If someone just got down on their knee and said that, I'd be like, well, why do you want to do this?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the, I don't know, but forgive me for how cold-hearted that may sound. And her being like, I'm like, I don't know. To me, I'm just like, hey, just roll. Like, if it's going to be special, you're going to have an idea of when it's starting to happen. Be like, hey, we're just going to, you want to go on a hike? Okay, well, it's 50-50. Like, half of them happen on hikes, you know? Like,
right.
When you see his friend hiding in the bushes with a camera, it's probably happening. Just let it happen. Just enjoy it however it happens.
Gosh. I hope I don't see it coming, though.
Same.
So I feel like we agree with this girl a little bit.
Is that possible?
I'm 100% on your side. I don't think she was looking
100%.
At his phone.
I don't either.
I disagree that she
sounds
was like snooping.
Snooper. Sounds like because you two are snoopers.
No, that's like if I was like, hey, Megan, would you mind texting Dustin back?
Yeah.
And then the last thing I had said was like, wow, isn't Megan so pretty? And she's like, oh my God, you called me pretty. Like, that's not snooping.
Wouldn't it be weird if he was like this was all smoke signals? Like, what if this isn't? Because it almost sounds like he's like letting her kind of see it. Because, like, that's a kind of a boneheaded move.
Oh.
And maybe he listens to this. And, you know, it's like, oh, yeah. And then he gets her, like,
I just got chills.
It's like a way better ring, you know, or something like that.
Maybe. maybe he's planting these things, you're saying?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I guess it would be cool.
I hope he listens to this podcast, and now you need to pivot as if that was your play. Oh!
Whoa. Okay, I guess. So
what
was
the final question? What did she say again?
Dustin, was how can we get past these bad feelings and salvage the proposal?
Oh. Are you asking me how to feel a different way than you feel? That's an impossible thing.
I mean, I think I like what you said about...
positive thoughts and perspective? No, you can't control the way you feel.
I know. If you don't have expectations, it will be fine. But since you already have them, I think just, like you said, roll with it. Know that it's going to happen. The fact that it's happening in general is so nice. But my hope for them, which is like you can't really... make sure that this happens, but I just hope that he does it in a way that is as much unexpected as it can be.
Yes.
And that's all that she
Absolutely.
Can hope for.
And I would encourage her to, however it does happen, to do her best to enjoy it, to live in the moment, and to not put expectations on it. And if it isn't the way that you want it to be, then to add levity to it. And like that, well, and obviously that's the world that I live in stand up. But it's like, if it didn't go the way you'd expect it to be, like laugh about that. Cause that's very funny.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah. Like, well, first off, where's your horse? Like, you know, like just laugh at the unrealistic expectations that maybe you put on it, even if they were realistic and how he totally botched it. And that's probably part of the things that you like about this guy anyways, you know, that he doesn't deliver and he isn't everything, you know, that... You dreamed.
That's what you love about him is he's not who you wanted.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just another guy.
Exactly. You love that he's not good at being the things that you are. You know? That's why you're not marrying you.
Ooh. Speaking of secrets, I guess, before you propose. Before you propose, it is kind of a secret. Do you have any tips on keeping secrets?
Oh, I don't really... Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't really delve in secrets either.
Yeah, I'm not a secrets guy.
I get kind of mad when people are like, don't say anything about this. And then I'm like, I'm not even listening. Because I will, like.
I had two late night cookies last night in my hotel. And I texted my wife out of shame.
What kind of cookies were they?
They weren't even good. They were the hotel cookies, but I was
pretty
hungry.
Oh, were you staying at a DoubleTree?
No, they weren't. No, DoubleTree cookies are pretty good.
These are pretty good.
This was a Residence Inn in Burbank, which is fine. But I walked by, and you know, I'm doing the intermittent fasting thing, and so it was like, which is very hard as a comedian because you're on late night hours. And so I walked by those cookies at 11. I was like, I got it. And I was like, I'll grab one. And then I came back down for the second. I came back out of my room to get the second. And I couldn't keep that a secret from my wife.
Shoes on or shoes off?
What's that?
Did you walk down with your shoes on or your shoes off to get the cookie?
Oh, shoes on, no socks. I didn't put the socks back on. I was like, this is quick.
This is going to be a quick trip.
Yeah, but so that all that to say, like, I'm not a good secrets guy.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't think I am either. If my best way to keep a secret, though, if I really needed to tell someone, I would either write it down in, like, a journal or, I mean, I've never done this, but I would, like, tell my cat. And be like, yo, this girl got this surgery. All right, bye.
What's that, Taylor? Again, I talk about her a lot. She's one of my best friends, and she's a prolific comedian, Taylor Tomlinson. She goes, I believe in God in some parts because if he's not real, I've told a lot of secrets to the wind.
That's really good.
You have those, like, existential moments where, like, I just have to say these things.
Yeah. Do you have a secret tip, Irene?
I mean, I think I lean the same way as you. Like, the only secrets I like to keep and I'm cool with keeping are, like, surprises. Like, if somebody's coming into town and, like, they don't want roommate to know. Or like, that I love.
Yeah.
Because that's always super fun.
Well, those are good.
Exactly.
Secrets.
But if somebody's like, I have to tell you something, and like, I'm like, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of I'd rather not know it.
For sure.
So I don't have to know or care. Yeah. I don't slip up and I don't, oh, I said this to this person, but they know it's fine. And I act, but this person was in the room and they don't know. So now I have to, like, I hate that.
I know.
Maybe categorically, I think differently between secrets and surprises. Surprises, I'm fairly good at, but that's not like, like,
that's true. Yeah. I guess like, I'm mixing the two.
I got a secret that could ruin a marriage, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I'm not good at that kind of stuff.
Always said the truth will set you free. And if you tell the truth, you won't
have
to.
Your mom said that? Is that what you said?
Yeah, what's wrong?
Did your mom take credit for that?
No.
I was going to say, because Jesus said that.
The Abraham Lincoln
Jesus,
joke.
My mom always used to say, love others as yourself. I was like, no, those are the words of Christ.
She always said that to me.
My mom always said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. What? Your mom... My mom always said,
do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And she's a great woman. But she said that about truth, and then that, like, if you tell the truth, you'll never have to remember a story. And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I'm bad at all of these things, so yeah. I love the truth now.
Yeah, it's nice. It's way better.
It's way better. Sometimes it hurts, like, a lot.
But it's like, but then, you, like, you can't, I mean, it's like what you always say, you can't. Like, you can't try to figure out the outcome. You only have
the action.
The action. Mm. Mm-hmm. And if you're truthful in your action, like, that's the truth. Like, there's nothing that's going to change that.
Yeah. I was reading this book the other day. Ooh, I took a picture of it. Oh, my gosh. So the book itself is, like, doing the most. But I took this photo of one of the little excerpts, and it said, good thoughts and actions can never produce bad results. Bad thoughts and actions can never produce good results. And I'm like... Yeah.
Lowercase y-u-h, period.
Y-u-h.
I love that.
Yeah.
I stopped paying attention when you said I read in a book. What is this? What are we? Was it by candlelight? What did you? Did you churn butter on the way in? What did you?
It could have been an article. It could have been a meme.
Every book is too long. Every book, I'm like...
Books are long.
Books are way
books
too
are
long.
Books are long.
When people are like, oh, attention span these days, is like, your book should have been 2 chapters, max. Your book should have been a blog. And blogs are outdated, honestly.
Your book should have been a tweet.
Can you put this in an IG story? Can I, honestly? Like a 5-clip one. I mean, who's clicking 11 in?
On Christ. Hey,
come on. Shut it.
Blows out our
minds. Sorry.
We're going to take a quick little break while Dustin gives an extra piece of advice you can find on meganbattoon.com/podcast. And we'll do some John Chris impersonations off air. And we'll be right back. Sade! I knew I said it was going to be off.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. Before we get into our tip jar round, Dustin, tell us all about what's going on in your world.
Yeah. Well, you know, if folks want to come see me do stand-up comedy.
Yes.
All my...
Hilarious.
So good.
So good.
Thank you. I work very hard. Wow, just calling into question the work ethic. No, it's, you're more of a naturally gifted person.
Ooh,
what would you rather have? I think you'd rather be...
Wow, what a great question.
Naturally gifted or work ethic?
Oh, I know mine.
I don't know.
The wrong answer.
Well, I would...
I know exactly what you're saying.
What, I mean, because I would say naturally gifted,
yeah.
Right? But yeah. Like... We are hardworking, but like you can have both, right?
Hopefully both. But I listened to this. I'm terrible on tangents, but the
I'm just terrible.
I watched Jason Witten was an NFL player. He retired last year.
He retired?
Yeah, he was tight end for the Cowboys. He was like a Pro Bowler, and he retired. He's like, you know, I'm here not because of like natural abilities and, you know, but I spent more time in the dirt. I worked harder than all these people. I was like, bro, you're 6'6", 240. Like,
it was written in the stars, my friend.
Fast and big. Like, that's like, yeah, maybe there are other guys that also have that, but like, NFL tight end was never in the cards for me. I was like, I got to learn how to tell jokes.
The only other option.
I would take work hard. That was what I would take.
Yes. But oh, that's
because
so nice.
I think the people that are naturally gifted and don't work hard are just bad humans. I don't like I don't like their general existence. So anyways, all my shows are listed at dustinnickerson.com and all my socials are at Dustin Nickerson. And then I also have a podcast,
yes!
which Megan has been a guest on.
So good. So fun.
And it's called Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family with new episodes every Tuesday where we talk to funny people like yourselves about family stuff. So it's a good one.
It was really funny. There was a bit in there where my sister said something pretty mean to me.
Yeah.
And John sent me a video of you guys like repeating it.
Oh, I didn't repeat it. John did.
I was like, that's so hurtful for my life, but so funny when it's about something else.
It was very funny. And it was a fun episode between the two of you. I like the contrast of podcast level of professionalism. And then I like my podcast and it's going very well and I like it, but because I'm very nomadic, it's very nomadic,
which is
like,
so awesome.
Like, we're gonna release an episode that came out or like this week's episode in December is one that was recorded in a green room after a show, and the intro was recorded in my producer's car on his lunch break. So I come into a studio, I'm like, this is really nice.
That's super cool though. I wish I could do that sometimes.
It's nice to be nomadic. Yeah,
I don't think I've ever been nomadic before. I mean, my entire childhood was, but I feel like now that...
That's why you're not now.
Yeah.
I just want a home. Can I just stay? Can people just stay in the same place?
Yeah.
I'll have the same friends next year. Got sad. Yeah, moving sucks.
That was really sad. Moving was really hard, but I'm so used to it now that, like, I love change.
Yeah.
But I also hate it at the same time.
That's why you have a 3-story home. You can just do the change.
Change of the floors.
Yeah, it's like, I need a little switch up. I'm going to go upstairs.
Never leave.
You just change it, like, they're different seasons. This is my winter floor.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I love it. A winter floor? Going to do it. Amazing. Yes, if you're listening, are you lifting? And listening?
People work out and listen to it. Someone's getting swole right now.
Oh, nice. Someone's you were going to go like they're doing a ride car service or a ride share.
Oh, that's a very LA listen. Response.
He rolled his eyes for those of you who couldn't see.
He's from San Diego. He's going to crap on everything.
Seattle. I've only lived in two cities, and both of them hate this city, Seattle and San Diego. I have a very healthy disdain for this city.
I know. I met Dustin on John's tour, and
in
he
LA.
Brought me up. It was the
oh, yeah, we met in Phoenix.
Arizona.
Flagstaff.
Yeah. No, it was Scottsdale.
Scottsdale. But they're both two words.
Arizona. But then when we went into...
Neither of them are two words.
Oh, that's right.
They're both two syllables.
You guys got... We're burning air.
John brought me out saying, like, I was from L.A. in San Diego, and, like, no one clapped.
No, they couldn't
care
less.
And I was like, John, you are setting me up for so much failure right now.
Yeah, like, oh, the city that just took our football team? Cool. Thanks. Awesome. Cool. Oh, and you don't even like them? Perfect. Thank you.
Perfect. Oh, but yes. Anyway, moral of the story, go check out Dustin and his podcast and his shows. You will not be disappointed.
Thanks, y'all.
So very funny. Speaking of funny, be it more for this next section called Tip Jar. People on Twitter send me one or two word suggestions, and we give our one best tip for any of the subjects. One good tip.
This feels like improv. Someone give us a suggestion from the audience.
Give us a suggestion. I heard
basketball game.
Windshield. I heard windshield. Everybody's like, oh my God, I don't have anything on windshield. Who's going to tell a story?
Could someone say garbage can? Great. I have 8 minutes scripted. Let's go.
Okay. What is your best tip on candles? Why are you laughing? I have tips on candles.
I bet you do. I have no strong opinion on candles. I almost burnt my house down with a candle once as a teenager. I was like you know, you have your emotional years. As I was like, I'm going to sleep with a candle. It's probably when I was the first time I saw Nightmare Before Christmas. And I was like, I'm asleep with the candle going, which is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And my dad said he randomly felt like in the middle of the night that he needed to go into my room. Weird stuff. And he turned. Whoa. He walked into my room and the candle had tipped.
No.
And it was still. And he's like, it was about to hit your blanket. And I was like, ever since, I was like, you know, I don't need candles in my life.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Dude, parents have that weird.
It's a weird thing.
That's wild.
It was Megan's mom that told my dad. Yeah. She was like, it's what I've always said. Is if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. I've always said that. I've always said that in that book I wrote, Fahrenheit 451.
My mom always said, don't fight fire with fire. She's a queen.
Your mom is prolific.
Okay, so your tip for candles is don't sleep with them.
Yeah, there you go. But I'm sure you have a much more extensive...
My tip for candles is, here's my tip on candles.
Here we go.
Is light them. Because here, I know, no. Listen.
If you have a TV, you've turned it on. Have you ever watched TV on your TV? You ever driven a car? It's like you can have the car and it's great to look at, but when you drive it, it's like, wow, this really takes it to the next level.
Let me explain. That should be the name of my podcast.
Let me explain.
Yeah. I feel like I'm constantly misunderstood. Here we go. Because I stop this now. A lot of people buy candles and are like, they're so pretty, they smell so good, but they don't want to use them because they love how they smell and they are. But it's like, because I have one candle that's like way too much money that was gifted mm-hmm. to me. And so I was like, I'm not going to burn this. This is a ridiculous amount of money.
Right.
But when I burn it, I feel so happy and I love it.
Yeah.
Burn your candles. Get your flowers. It's like, I also read somewhere that, like, use the things that you have. Because why do you have them unless you're not going to use
right.
them? Candles especially.
That's why Megan is out of money.
That's right.
You got to spend the money that you have.
That's exactly right. That's why I have no shoes on right now. I don't have shoes to wear.
Guys, we need to get a new sponsor for the show just so Megan gets some shoes.
Do you have a tip on vegetables?
Oh, man. Eat them first.
Before what?
Put them on your plate. If you're making your thing, put them on your plate and don't touch any food around it until those vegetables are gone. Because it's the worst part of the meal. You just got to scarf those things down. Any vegetable that tastes good is because it's put a bunch of stuff on it that's bad. It's
yes.
I learned that at my first job, one of my first restaurant jobs. I worked at Outback, and I was like, oh, my gosh, these are unbelievable.
You worked at Outback?
Yeah, and they're like, it's like, these vegetables are unbelievable. I was like, yeah, we steam them in butter. I was like, there you go. That's why these are delicious.
Outback is so great.
Outback.
How many blooming onions did you have?
Oh, you get tired of the blooming onion pretty quick.
Couldn't imagine.
Pretty quick you get tired of that. Yeah.
Can't relate.
Yeah, it's like, because you'll be like, it's you just be like, you're like not your first 9 days working there, you come home with a blooming onion, and then because you know they're giving them out for free or whatever, you know,
right.
And you're like, all right, that's enough for a lifetime. I don't need any more of these.
That's how I feel after one.
Yeah,
then I go back the next day.
That's my vegetable advice. Put them on the plate. You know, be responsible. Put them on the plate. Be a good, healthy human, and then just devour them while you still have some appetite. Because if you savor those veggies for last,
you're not gonna touch them. My tip for vegetables is to drizzle them in olive oil and bake them for like 15 minutes on 350, and then they're roasted and they're much better.
There you go. Yeah, roasted vegetables are a different game. Still not that good.
What?
But, I mean, compared to a non-vegetable,
I mean,
they're not good at all. Compared to a normal vegetables, they're fine. That's the thing. We're just comparing them to veggies, which is like you're comparing to them if you get to the carrot you grabbed out of the ground, and you're like, oh yeah, roasted with olive oil, this is tastes good. But you put it next to like cheesy mashed potatoes, and you're like,
yeah,
this doesn't even belong, and this shouldn't be categorically food together. One of these is food,
like
and one of these is dirt. One of these is
dirt. Yeah. It's like saying one of them is ice cream and one of them is murder. Like, they're not. No. It's not.
I would call vegetables murder. I that checks out compared to mashed potatoes.
I mean, with to cheese, a vegetable,
cheesy mashed potatoes.
Every vegan is freaking out. They're like, no, meat is murder. That's the one.
To a vegetable, getting eaten is still murder.
I stayed in the vegetable category technically with potatoes there.
Oh, I guess
right?
You're right.
I didn't be like,
is that a vegetable?
It's a isn't root it? Vegetable.
Wow, yeah. Really? Mm-hmm. Huh.
But. Well, by the time you mash and put butter and cheese in there, then it's, oh.
Well, then it's a dessert.
Yeah.
I eat salty things for dessert. Yeah. I have a savory tooth. Mm. I'm a savory tooth tiger. I've got to go.
Get some fan art. Megan as a savory tooth tiger.
I'm crying. Next up, do you have a tip on rain?
Oh, I have lots of tip on rain.
Really?
I'm from Seattle, Washington.
Oh, yeah, give us some
I'm
rain tips.
I'm from Rain City. This city needs it. This is like, this city is so laughable. That's why I've said this is the only place in the world, Southern California, that compared to driving in the rain, like people are safer drunk drivers here. Like they're reasonable. Like it's out of control. Driving in the rain, slow down a little. That's all. That's the main thing is just slow down a little and get some new wipers. And don't go, when you hydroplane, you don't swerve. That's a big one. That's how most of that.
Yeah.
When you hydroplane, you're supposed to just kind of not like just let the wheel do what it's going to do.
And you're not supposed to brake very much.
Don't brake and don't swerve. So, you know, just let it run its course.
It's so wild.
Yeah.
Wait, you don't brake at all?
Yeah, you're not supposed to brake when you hydroplane.
No.
Because you're not attached to the ground. So when you brake, your tires stop, right?
And you go even crazier.
So what happens when you hydroplane when you don't brake is you stop your wheel from spinning even though the car's still moving. So then when it hits pavement again, that's when you turn.
Hydroplaning is the scariest thing.
It's very scary. And you just got to train yourself to like, I literally actually do take, for just a second, I kind of take a hands off the wheel. It's like, all right, Jesus.
Yeah.
Megan's mom,
Jesus, take the wheel.
Megan's mom, take the wheel. What's her name?
Michelle.
Michelle, take the wheel. Just raining down over me.
That's so good.
And get a nice rain jacket, but don't buy one of the high-end ones. If you buy a high-end rain jacket, you are a sucker. Just an absolute.
For capitalism or just?
Just it's like you can get the same thing at Target or Ross for half the price. When someone's rolling in with like a North Face rain jacket, I was like, did you have money to set on fire? Did you just have some money that you're like, I should burn this? You know, I'll burn this in my candles.
Can you imagine burning money?
Yeah.
Some people,
Sam Kinison did it, the comedian. He was notorious for that. He's like, yeah, let's burn some money. It's like a weird head power trip.
That's weird.
Yeah, well.
I would hate that.
Drugs, man.
A tip on rain. Do you have a tip for rain?
No. I'm from here, so rain is always like, it's like a treat. It's like a fun.
Yeah.
Rain to me is like what I think like a snow day in like Texas is. Like, I'm like, whoa, it's... Let's stay in and watch it. Like, I think it's amazing. I love rain.
Rain is very therapeutic to listen to. That I do like.
She hates it.
Well, listen, let me explain. I don't hate it. I just can't sleep to it. Mm-hmm. So, like, people that have rain machines.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
If it's raining outside and I can hear it, I've got to play, like, a music over it.
Do you sleep to, like, silence? Is that what? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
So, like, when I'm on those bus tours with John and whatnot, and everyone's like, oh, don't you love the bunk? I was like, it's loud and bumpy. Who sleeps well in loud and bumpy conditions?
Bumpy?
Did your mom run in the womb when you were pregnant? Was she like, what?
Your mom probably did.
I know, my mom is a runner. That bunk was wild. I was only on that tour for 4 days.
Yeah.
And the bunk is like... It's a soundproof feeling type of bunk where they've got like a curtain that snaps on the end. And then on both ends of the bus has like soundproof doors too. So I slept until 12 p.m. and I was like, oh, it's got to be at least 6 o'clock because the sun's not out.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my God, a whole half of a day has gone.
Yeah, they're like sardine cans. You just crawl in these and then you wake up not knowing when or who you are.
Or why you exist.
Why am I?
Yeah, that's some wild stuff. I don't know how you guys do that.
I don't do it well, but I'm not a good sleeper in general. So then you add that into it, I'm like, nah, this ain't for me.
Do you have a tip on tour buses? I don't know how many people listening are touring on a bus.
Yeah, the only thing that I've found helpful are earplugs and then dress like real cozy. Like I'll be like, hooded sweatshirt, which normally I don't do that. I'm a chonies only guy, sleeper, just the undies, you know.
Yeah. <Chonies.
laughs> And but on the bus, I'm like, is like cozy and just like don't move. I don't know why, for whatever reason that works.
It is
pretty
cold. Earplugs.
It is very cold too.
Yeah.
But then it'll get oddly hot. Again, when people are like, I sleep so good on the bus, like, what is your problem? What happened to you that this is a good sleeping situation for you? You know, I sleep well in a bed that doesn't move in silence. That seems like ideal sleeping conditions, no? With a person I like next to me sometimes, that seems better. Aww. No? Oh, on a bus with 11 strangers? Perfect. You freak.
What, do you have a tip on comedy as our next suggestion?
Oh, well, you guys should go first on this one. I want to hear your thoughts.
Dear God, one tip for comedy? I mean,
it's like stand-up or just comedy in general?
They just said comedy, so I guess you could take it in whatever way you want. I guess it's my tip would be make what you would want to see. Like, write the joke that you would laugh at. Mm. Don't write or make anything for somebody else. Don't tailor it for them.
That's true of any art.
Yes.
Any product, really.
Yeah.
You know, that's right. Good advice.
You're very good.
You should
at
have
that.
An advice podcast.
That's a pretty good idea. Yeah. I'll call it Let Me Explain.
Let me finish. Let me say what I'm trying to say. Like, this is your podcast. All right. I'm a guest here.
You can
here.
Do whatever you want.
Irene, what would you say? Because you're very funny.
She just died. I don't think Irene's going to be
with
us. You're
both very funny. Yeah.
Two graves, one day,
next to each other, please. Thank you very much. That means a lot to me. It's actually the only thing I care about.
Is being funny?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same.
I think I'm a very big believer in comedy is tragedy plus time. Mm. So like
that's Megan's mom said that, right?
That's right. Yeah.
I'm just going to keep hitting this pinata.
Michelle wrote all the books. I'm just going to
keep hitting this pinata. It's so funny.
It is really
I just think that's the only way to deal with stuff. Like,
yeah.
My dad died cool. I'll wait a year. Like, I just, like, what's the point of living if it's not going to make you and other people happy? And yeah, so like, I really don't think that there's nothing, I don't think that there's something that can't be laughed about. Mm. Like, of course, there's people that you wouldn't want to make certain jokes around because you know they're sensitive to it. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want to make somebody like uncomfortable. But for me, like, it's like, it's the thing that rules my life is like, how can I make this funny, or how can I make the people around me laugh? Like, when I make Megan laugh, or when I make you laugh, like people that I really look up to and respect as comedians, like that's like the highlight of my day.
Mm. Yeah, is a very good feeling. Yeah. So your tip is
comedy's tragedy plus time. So just make a joke.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. comedy is a thing that, I mean, this is literally what I've devoted my life to. So, like, I can't do a quick one on
yeah.
It. But I think if you want to be a stand-up comic, don't. That's my first advice. If you can literally do anything else, do that. Because it's not worth it otherwise. And we don't need more comedians. Like, we don't need more podcasts. We have enough. Coming from a guy that recently started one. So we're all out here trying. I agree with that. I think the biggest lie that I was told as a kid is that not everything is funny. It's like, that's incorrect. Everything Ooh. Is so funny.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you can make a joke about it right away, but you might be able to. And who are you to say that somebody can't laugh about their own tragedies?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you hear Pete Davidson doing jokes about his dad who died in 9/11, like, who are you to say he can't tell that joke?
Right.
You know, never be offended by a joke. Read, Sam Morrell has that great bit about right now where he's talking about the New York Times wrote a bit about one of his, or some scathing thing. He's like, New York Times, could you never touch a joke again? like, just don't be offended by comedians.
Yeah.
Let them say their thing. And, you know, I don't hold to this like, oh, you know, laughter and comedy is the best, most important thing. But it's a really important thing. And it's pretty much the best feeling in the world, which is to laugh. And so, you know, don't be offended on the other people's behalf. The world does not need any
Yes.
more middle-aged, well-off white women being offended on other people's behalf. There are so many Kathys that are just offended.
The cartoon.
On, like, you can't say that about race. Now, I don't have a black person in my neighborhood, but you are the offended one here. I was like, stop
right.
it. Just let comedians do their thing.
Yep.
And if you don't want to see them, then don't watch their show or don't go to their website or whatever. I don't know.
Truly. I like that. Do you have, I know we talked about Outback, but do you have a tip on restaurants?
Tips on restaurants. Are you guys like more like you like to find the place that like nobody like knows about type restaurants, or you're like
nah?
You're like,
I'm all about the Chili's. Good food. Like I love Chili's, honey chicken crispers. Also,
I'm sorry,
Reese
what
Chris?
Was that noise? Did you drown in them?
That's right. That's how I eat.
Yeah.
Full immersion. Yeah.
Be very nice to your server.
Yes.
Their night is so much worse than yours.
Yes.
They're working. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind to them. Tip them. That's if there's one thing, that's it. And don't send food back. Whatever you get is coming back worse than you sent it. Send food back.
Here we go. Let's debunk this.
Yeah.
Because when you were working at Outback, when people would send food back, you would send something worse, or you would try.
It might look better. but there's some things that you can't see. People spit in food. I watched our head guy at Outback. Now, this is not a high, it's Outback. It's not a high end. Somebody sent a steak back for not being cooked enough. He cooked it to the right amount, threw it on the ground.
Oh my God, I love it.
Flipped it on the ground again. No. Stepped on it.
No.
Put it on the grill and put a garnish on it and sent it back. And
I
bust that table and I was like, they ate that whole steak. I was like, I bet you'd have been happier if it was a little more red and a little less boot, you know?
I didn't even think about that because usually I'm like, oh yeah, spit. It's like you're making out with someone for free. Cool. But like,
is the market that bad for you right now, Megan? It's hard to believe. Like, oh, I get to make out with normally. I pay for this. What?
What?
What's going on right now?
It's like making out with a steak. But I didn't even think about that. Like, re-putting it on the grill, because that's a different level of garnish.
Yeah, it's.
Whoa.
They're just so mad that you're, and like you made, it's fine. Because usually it's fine. It's one thing if you're like, hey, this isn't what I ordered. That's one thing. Just be nice and understand that they're working.
I get
and you
it.
Are not.
But here's my rebuttal to
here
that. Because I totally, here we go.
Because
I agree with that. But also, if you're spending your hard-earned money on a steak and it's to cook.
That's an Outback steak. It's not $17.99. I mean, this is somewhere in between like Sizzler and Ruth Chris. We're right in the middle there. Are you being paid by Ruth Chris right now?
I wish. Oh. It's Ruth's Chris,
Ruth's
actually.
Ruth's Chris. I'm sorry. Does Ruth's own Chris?
She
Ruth
actually does. Chris? So it used to be called
Dang,
Chris Steakhouse,
that
and then
is a
Ruth
woke
bought
relationship
it, and then
right
she was
Ruth
like,
owns
"Oh,
Chris,
it's gonna be a Ruth Chris situation." But I don't. But I wish they did like me a little bit more. I love Ruth's Chris.
Yeah, Ruth's Chris.
Anyway, my tip for Ruth's Chris, thank you so much, is
to change their name to Ruth Chris.
To go get the bread pudding with the normal. Which is the white icing, because they offer like citrus and raspberry. You don't need that.
They offer.
They do.
I just like they offer citrus and raspberry. Are you reading the menu right now?
When I close my eyes, it's just a picture of a steak.
Yeah, and when you pair that with a nice Malbec, like, what, would you relax?
Yes, my tip is to tip. But I think if you're sending food back, make sure it's for the right reason. If it's something you didn't order, or if you're paying a lot of money for it.
Do you like to be at restaurants for a while? Because I'm in and out. I'm like 40 minutes max.
Really?
Once the food's eaten, I'm like, all right, I'm done here.
We're done here.
I don't really like being in restaurants that long. But
yeah,
I
guess it depends on who I'm with. Like, if I'm with somebody that we can just continue to keep, like, having drinks.
I might need better
friends. Like, I did it.
Listen, I'm not enjoying your company.
I'm done.
Yeah.
With
if
the meal
we're not eating,
and our
I don't want to be with you.
I dated this guy where his family was Italian, so we would stay after dinner for, like, 3 extra hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what's the point of this? Like, we're done, and we're also squatting this table. Like, they've never worked in the restaurant industry, so I was like, you don't get it. But, like, they're asking us to leave. Every time they come and ask us if we need something else, it's because they want us to go.
Yeah.
And so I guess it
depends
on you
need anything else? Your keys? Your jacket? What do you need? I've called a Lyft for you.
A tip for restaurants.
I mean, I just...
From the cook here.
I agree with everything y'all are saying. Like, be nice to your server. just be so nice. But like, truly, like, it's when it comes to tipping, I do like to tip really well because I was in the service industry for a long time. And the thing is, a lot of the time, I'm getting so upset. A lot of the time, if something is taking a long time, it's not their fault. It's like the kitchen is taking a long time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's, I like to judge my server on their service. Like, we had a waitress. That's
good perspective.
That is a really good perspective.
Yeah. We had a waitress a while back where we did send something back because it was just a different thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Then the menu said it. We ordered, like, fried
creamy
shrimp.
Creamy rock shrimp is what we ordered.
I'm sorry, where were you eating?
Starfish
Bahama
sushi.
Bahama Breeze? Where was this at?
In Los Feliz. And I don't know the girl's name, but I hope she doesn't work there any longer.
And it was just like a complete, we got a different thing. It looked different. It was different.
It was shrimp, but it didn't look anything like the picture. Yeah. And it was bad.
And so we, like, very politely, because we've both done this, we were like, hey, I'm so sorry. Is there any way we could get this, just change it or whatever? And she goes,
yeah.
She sighed super heavy. Her shoulders were down to the floor.
she slapped her leg like, okay.
And wow. I was like, what are you giving? Like, I can't believe you're doing this in front of us.
Yeah. So to me, that's a bad server. If she was like, I'm so sorry. We actually don't do switches. Like, if she was super apologetic, I'd be like, you know what? It happens, whatever.
Give me miso soup and I'll be fine.
But she was the living worst.
Yeah. So don't be that person.
You caught her having a day, though. That's what led up to that, though.
That's what we were trying to do. But also, like, if you're, like, you can't just be bad at work.
You can't.
That's work.
Yeah, you gotta leave at the door. Bad days at work, though, right?
As my mom always said, leave at the door. Yeah. Do you have a tip on headshots?
Oh, I'm the bad guy to ask for this. Get them if you have to. I don't know.
Yeah, I hate them. Here's my tip.
Yeah.
Is obviously find a good photographer.
Well, we're in a different world, too. We need different types of headshots.
Oh, I guess you're right.
Yeah, you do everything.
I need
you
the
have
everything
all
headshot.
The skills. You really do. You should just be like holding like a one thing. Like, here's a microphone and a dance shoe. I don't know. A dance bag. You always have the bags.
The dance. I'll hold like a ballerina slipper. I don't even do ballet.
The bag is a big part of the dancer's life.
I got my headshots taken one time, and this is not my tip because I think my straight up tip would just be like find someone that you can feel comfortable around, like a photographer that you like their work and you like working with them, and you play a playlist that you really feel good in. But my other,
no playlist for mine.
You just play your own comedy
tracks?
Yeah,
we're like, hey, does this look a little bit like me? Like this generically? Okay, is it kind of funny? Perfect. That's all I need.
A stock photo.
There's no playlists.
But I remember when I had to do like theatrical headshots when I was acting.
Oh, yeah.
I had to like close my eyes and then like open them right away. And that was like a little moment. And then she
was the photographer telling you to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she was like, okay, now like smirk a little bit and then continue to smirk until it's a full smile. And then I was like, this seems so stupid. And then I did it. And like right before your smile breaks out, your smirk is the most natural. So that's also a little.
Yeah.
That's a really good tip.
Is it?
Really yeah.
Is. You were doing it.
I was like.
I was like. I was just thinking about the smirk emoji, and I was like, that is my favorite one. So
that's your favorite emoji?
Oh, yeah. That and the glasses
that's
one.
That's such a leading emoji.
Yeah, I like the emoji where his head is exploding.
You do like that.
That's how I feel.
It's funny you were going to say, advice I would have said in a headshot is, yeah, be cooperative with your photographer. My wife used to do, you know, she's a photographer and a graphic designer. And so she worked at a theater for a while, and she would have to work with, you know, actors, and they would be like, well, I want to do this. And she's like, I'm in charge of this, you know,
like, get it, Melissa.
Just do what I'm telling you to do. Your job is to be there. My job is to take the picture. So yeah, do whatever that photographer tells you to do.
Whoa. Do you have a tip on Netflix?
I would say, or like things that I'm watching on Netflix, or I don't know.
Or how to binge something, or your Netflix password for everybody that doesn't have an account.
Capital, no. that's a great, I don't know that I have, you know, I watch like Netflix. It's the golden era of stand-up comedy on Netflix, and you should be watching them. The best stand-up comedy in the world is available for $11.99 a month or whatever Netflix And they're putting out specials so fast and so rapidly that you can watch a new special from Ali Wong every 2 years. And in between that, get Mulaney and Gaffigan and Regan and Seinfeld, like all the goats of it, of doing it, and all the up and coming. It's the golden era of stand-up comedy on Netflix. So you should be binge-watching all of those specials on there. It's so good.
Let's give a comedy tip, a comedy recommendation for a Netflix special round the room. Just one.
Yeah, just one.
Yeah.
John Mulaney's New in Town is a perfect comedy special.
And you can't say that.
Was that what you were going to say?
No. Mike Birbiglia, my girlfriend's boyfriend.
Really good.
Well, I really liked the other one, too. What I should have said was no.
Mike, he's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, the very first stand-up comedy show I ever went to was at my college, University of Washington, and Birbiglia was the headliner, and Mulaney was the opener. Oh, and I was like, I should just not go to comedy anymore. I should just not. God. This is an unbelievable show. So,
whoa, that's so
big fans
good.
Of both of them.
I've probably said this a million times, but I'll recommend... Bo's second special, Bo Burnham's Make Happy.
Oh, you just call him Bo. You're on that level.
No.
Oh, no, I understand.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Bo.
Oh, Bo.
Oh, Kristen. Oh, Bo.
So those are three specials you should definitely watch if you've never heard or seen them. Go do that. We have two more quick tips to give. A quick tip on first moves. Got one?
Oh, I'm so the wrong guy to ask for this, right? I know I've started every one of these big, I don't have anything to say about this, and then I go on like a 6-minute rant. But like making a move on somebody, like listen, like my relationship advice is like, find your soulmate when you're 16 and then just be happily married.
Okay. I mean, that is great.
Yeah.
I guess I missed the boat on that one.
Yeah,
but...
so that 14-year-old girl earlier in the episode, hey, you know.
You're close.
Clock is winding.
You might not have a phone, but you will have a husband.
Yeah, good news. You're going to be traded for cattle and your hand in marriage soon, just like the Bible wants it. No. So, yeah, I have absolutely no advice. My general relationship advice, though, is to focus less on somebody's positives and how much you like those things and evaluate their negatives and how much those things bother you. And if those things don't bother you then that much, then that's a good... Because I think a sustaining relationship, at least this is if somebody's flaws don't bother you that much. They don't... Their discrepancies, their errors, their, you know, whatever they may be, their quirks, if those things are more... Like, my wife's things amuse me. I think they're funny. Mm-hmm. I don't think her big character flaws are a big deal to me. But other people are like, I don't know how you would deal with that.
Oh, my gosh.
Like,
they
why
say
are you
that
talking
you?
About my wife like this? But I think, because, you know, the positive emotions come and go.
Yeah.
But, like, if things are, like, bad in a relationship and you don't like a negative part about them a whole lot, then you're like, well, I guess I'll just have to, I'll just kill this marriage. We're done. So but that's not first move. That's more general relationship advice.
I'll take it. First move advice?
Make it.
Make the first move.
Yeah.
To anyone?
Yeah.
So you could make the first move.
Oh, yeah. I make the first move often. And it works rarely.
But I'm still doing it.
What about
that's
you? What
good.
About you?
Oh, wow. I don't know if I would take this advice, but I'll give it.
Oh, wonderful. Great. That's what a precursor to a statement. Listen, I don't buy this.
But I'll sell
it. But here it is, but I'll sell it.
Hell yeah.
I think, like, be upfront with, be honest with your intentions of the first move. Because so many people are kind of around, and then you don't really know if it's a date or not, or you don't know if they like you or not. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Let me know what you're doing.
Yeah, aren't you just trying to be, like, in those early ones, just trying to be genuine and authentic as well? Like, any old idea of, like, lines and, like, leading with compliments and, I mean, not that
I mean,
you
I'll
don't
take
want
the compliments.
Yeah, you know, just like...
I'm like, no, he doesn't mean that. Like, keep him coming.
Oh, yeah.
Saying nice things.
Well, you want to be nice, but, like, I don't know. That just feels so cheesy to
me. Dustin, you're happily married.
I know. That's anyway, why I'm asking. I said it, I led that as a question, all right? I didn't say, here's advice, don't take it. I'm
that's
just
what
trying
I would
to
say.
Inquire in case something happens. I don't know.
Our tip, compliment. Moving on. Our last tip jar suggestion is on breathing. Do you have a tip on breathing?
Yeah, sure. I recommend it.
I highly recommend.
So pro breathing. I'm like, all the time, I'm doing it.
All the time. I never stop. Yeah. Honestly,
I don't even think about it. And it just happens.
I could never have enough of it.
Yeah.
And I just want more.
I probably like air more than anything else. I probably am not grateful enough for air.
True. Let's all take a collective breath now. That sounds nice.
Do you guys do any
of
this?
Doesn't take a collective breath.
Sorry. No, I had to talk. I was like, is this what we do? Is this what more successful podcasts do? We just breathe into the mic? I'm doing it wrong. Putting all this thoughtful content out. She silenced. Can we eat in the mics now, too?
She needs air.
I know.
Please, someone bring a full-on oxygen tank. She will die.
I should have been a dancer. I should have been.
Here's my tip on breathing. Anytime you get into an adverse situation where you're overwhelmed or stressed or anything, take a second. Nothing's going to crumble to the ground. Take three big inhales, big exhales, and then figure it out from there. Get your mind to be able to reformat itself to deal with all the hell that you're dealt.
Yeah, and know that at the end of that, that's still going to be bad.
That's right.
What was that? I think you just took that from Lost. Wasn't what that Jack did in Lost? Remember the count to five thing?
He must have a good therapist.
Yeah, I think it was your mom. I think it was
My mom is a queen.
Yeah. She's prolific.
What if
She's
very prolific. Just a queen?
I have done a little bit of Wim Hof stuff on the breathing stuff, and I actually really like that stuff. Oh yeah, you guys.
We don't know anything about
breathing. That's gonna be a rabbit trail that you go down on as far as getting oxygen to the brain, and you know, like when to take big breaths and the different type of breaths you do, or even things like when you're catching your breath, you do the two sniffs to an exhale.
Oh yeah,
and maximizing the oxygen that you get and stuff like that. So it's helpful because I've had to get better at it because I started swimming because I'm old and that's what old guys do to work out. And I was like, I could make it like two laps. I was like, I'm gonna drown.
Yeah,
I need to get better at this breathing stuff. So, anyways, that's a fun tangent for people to go down.
Really fun. I remember I took a breath work class and you had to lay down on your back and then it was like a two part.
Was this
breath
college for you? You were taking breath work class?
Oh, this was like last month.
Yeah.
I live in Los Angeles.
God, this city sucks. Yo.
Yo. So I went to it. We're laying down, and it's a two-part breath where the first breath you draw it in through your diaphragm, and then the second part you go chest, and then you breathe out through your mouth.
There you go, yeah.
You get cotton mouth very quickly, but you do start like seeing things.
Whoa. Yeah, it does.
So it's like, I think it's like the expressway to Nirvana.
The band, actually.
The band.
Not the existential paradise existence, actual band. You just get there and then suddenly it smells like Teen Spirit. So, great.
We're done here. We can't follow that
with
anything.
No, we're talking about Nirvana. We're just getting started. Let's go. Let me finish.
Is that somebody's podcast? Was it? Let me finish. That's a name.
Let me explain. Sorry, that was what,
that's the one.
Nah, I'm sorry.
That's my new one.
I'm sorry, I got your fake podcast name wrong.
Dustin, thank you.
Thank you.
We really killed it.
Thanks.
This is great.
Honestly, I think we helped a lot. Do you feel like you helped?
I feel like I can't relate to a single one of your listeners, and I just got mad at them.
That's what they need sometimes.
They just need a father figure to be
mad. I'll be the dad of this podcast periodically. Like, hey, we just need Dustin to come tell people their problems aren't problems.
That's a good thing.
Real empathetic there.
Where can any of these children find you on the internet?
At Dustin Nickerson, D-U-S-T-I-N, not Justin, N-I-C-K-E-R-S-O-N, Dustin Nickerson. Nickerson.
If you have a sticky situation or a burning concern, please email us at justatipshow@gmail.com and be sure to sign up Sleepless in Seattle style so we don't out your true persona. Also, leave us your age because that only helps you in the end. Rate us 5 stars because we need it and it makes us feel good as well. Thanks for being a part of our lives. Go check out Dustin's stuff.
Thanks, guys.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.